Hey friend, do you want to offer meaningful learning solutions that create behavior change, fit in the flow of work, and yield real results for your nonprofit? If yes, this is the podcast for you. Join me as I explore instructional design and leadership development best practices, as well as change management, belonging, and influence. If we haven't met yet, I'm Heather, and I've been in your shoes. I'm a learning and development consultant and founder of Skill Masters Market. Before starting my business, I led learning and leadership development initiatives for a large national nonprofit. I know what it's like to need to develop your staff quickly and effectively and to build the relationships and cut through the organizational layers to be successful. And I'm bringing all of that to you in this podcast. So block your calendar, turn off your Teams or Slack chat, and let's dive in. It's learning for good. I attended a learning session recently that was all about competency models. Now, I've created competency models internally at a national nonprofit, as well as for my nonprofit clients since starting my business, Skill Masters Market. It's one of my favorite types of projects, really helping organizations identify the skills their people need to be successful. When we do these projects, we spend time researching trends, disruptors, and future skills. We spend time reviewing their organization's strategies, mission, vision, values, things like that. We look at where the organization is headed, and we start to imagine what it would take to help them get there. We talk to staff about how they do their work. We ask about star performers and what makes them so great. And we synthesize all of this information into key insights that help us identify the skills needed to be successful in your organization. And never once do I look at this research or this organization or their staff and think, you know what this organization needs? A clear picture of poor performance. Most of us know what poor performance looks like. We've experienced it. We're quick to complain about what the other person did wrong or brag about how we would have done things differently. We notice poor performance, even our own. So in this learning session, when we started looking at examples of competencies with their behavioral indicators, and that's just a fancy way of saying what that skill looks like in action. When we started looking at these examples and I saw a set of behaviors that qualified as quote unquote poor, my body had a physical reaction. Strong, intermediate, poor. So this is what this skill, say communication, this is what it looks like when you are strong in it. You're doing really well. And this is what it looks like when you're intermediate. You're doing okay. And this is what it looks like when you're bad at it. No, I just couldn't. Do you need to know? Do you need to have that picture of what it looks like to have bad communication? I loved this learning session. Great people, great facilitator, great learning. But if this had been a test, I would have failed. I knew there was no way I would write a poor behavioral indicator. Because to me, the lowest behavior you want is one that meets expectations. And everything should just go up from there. And maybe I've just been in the nonprofit world too long, but I'm a big believer in asset-based approaches. So today, I wanted to share with you why I don't memorialize poor behavior in your competency model and why asset-based competency models work. Let's dive in. It's Learning for Good, the podcast that helps you go from order taker to strategic partner in your nonprofit. Have you ever been at a pool and heard the lifeguard yell, "Walk!" That's intentional. They could have said, "Don't run," or "No running." But when they say that, all you can think about is running. and it becomes harder for your brain to process that you need to walk. So they say, walk, walk, please, walk. And they say it a lot if you've ever been to a pool with kids. Instead of saying to a classroom of kids, stop talking, you hear, be quiet. And when people go on diets, the current narrative is to focus on what you can have versus what you can't. We want to think about what our options are versus the restriction. And when you watch commercials, do people still do that? Is that a thing? Do commercials exist? When you watch commercials, you see an image of what you want. What you want to have, who you want to be, not of where you are. You see that perfect vacation, not your messy couch. You see the to die for bag that you just have to have. You see the shoes that make you jump higher, run faster. You see the truck that makes heads turn. The focus is on the positive. And yet, when we talk about leadership development in general, not just competency models, we tend to focus on the negative. And we have conversations like, well, here's where you're lacking, or here's what you still need to develop. Here's what I think you need to work on. Here's what you need to change. And I don't think that's the right approach. So you'll never find me including poor behaviors in a competency model. My minimum expectation is that you meet expectations. And we only go up from there. I want you to see how high you can go, how good you can be, how much you can excel at your work. Not get focused on what you lack. But why does this work? When we focus on the positive, when we take an asset-based approach, why does that work? Well, I asked ChatGPT to tell me a little bit about why asset-based approaches work in other areas like community development. We already know they're used there. And here's what ChatGPT shared. Asset-based approaches help you operate from your strengths rather than your deficit. They help you maintain agency and ownership. They help you work more innovatively and solve problems more effectively as you rely on your strengths to achieve those goals. They promote positive narrative. And asset-based approaches can help create more sustainable change. Now that's from the community perspective, but let's think about it from a leadership development perspective. Do you want people to operate from their strengths? Yes, right? Absolutely. I don't want the person who isn't great at visual design creating my slides. They're going to feel frustrated. I'm going to be disappointed. I want people to operate from their strengths. Now, if you are good at visual design, can you become great? Also, yes, we can lean into that strength and help you see a vision of something even better. So yes, I want people to operate from their strengths. Do you want people to maintain agency and ownership in their development? Again, yes, I want people to feel like they have a choice in how they learn. I've always heard as a parent, you decide what your kids eat. They decide how much. And I feel like there's some translation there for talent development too. We can decide what those skills are that are needed. But individuals need some choice in how they learn those things and how they approach those things. So yes, I want people to maintain agency and ownership in their development. Do you want people to work more innovatively and solve problems more effectively? I mean, yes, right? Who doesn't want that? Do you want to promote a positive narrative? Hello, rest and well-being. Goodbye, stress and burnout. I want people to know they are capable of doing their jobs. That's why you hired them. And that's why you continue to invest in them. I want to promote that positive narrative. And I don't want a competency model bringing somebody down. Do you want to experience sustainable change in your nonprofit? I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes, right? So many organizations can't get all the way through the change curve. They get stuck somewhere along the way. That's not what we want. We want staff and leaders who can take us all the way through the change curve. We want them and need them to operate from their strengths. We need to take that asset-based approach so that we can experience sustainable change. So those are the reasons you won't find me including core behaviors in a competency model. We need to shift the narrative to something that's more asset-based. It's consistent with the outcomes we want, and it's consistent with who you are as a nonprofit. Okay, that's it for today. Until next time on Learning for Good. Hey friend, was this episode helpful for you? Did you like what you heard? Do you want more content like this? Here are three things you can do. Hit subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice, share this episode with a colleague. This means so much to me personally. I read every review, but it also helps me learn what content you like most so I can create more of what you want. All right. Turn that Teams or Slack chat back on when you're ready, and I'll see you next time on Learning for Good.